You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here we are.
Hey guys,
message,
in this life, and
this
surely during John's time, folk were trying to be forgiven of their sins by different and various means. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they thought they were keeping the law, and because of that, they thought their sins were going to be forgiven. You have folk during our time who are doing all kinds of works and trying to help this one and trying to help that one, thinking that is going to carry some weight with God because of what they've done. But what John is helping us understand, that there's only one propitiation, one satisfactory offering for sin, and that's none other than God's Son, Jesus Christ. He says in verse 2 of chapter 2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And again, the only offering that God will accept in regard to sin. And you got folk in the world are trying to do everything under the sun to be right with God, except for going to the God's only begotten Son, S-O-N. And they think that they're going to be right, but there's only one way that's right. And John helps us to know that that being right has to be with Jesus Christ. And he goes on into verse 3, and it's almost like he's given us somewhat of a salvation test here, and shows us that if we truly know him, how we ought to conduct ourselves. He says in verse 3, "Hereby we know that we know him," and he's talking about know Christ, and I love John, he keeps it so simple. He says, "If we keep his commandments." And listen, he's saying that what's on the inside, what I say is really in my heart, it ought to show in my actions. And listen, that's a salvation test, that if I'm always sinning, always going contrary, I read a word or someone gives me a word and I say, okay, I hear you, but I want to do it my way. Listen, if I'm always being contrary, he's saying that I flunked that test. Because if I know Christ, if he is my Savior, then I ought to be walking in a way that pleases him. Amen. Miss Brenda might need a hand coming in if someone would give her a hand. And he's saying that Christ, number one, is the only way. And he's saying that if I know him, then it ought to show in how I walk, how I talk, and how I conduct myself. He says in verse 3, "And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And guys, in this same book, in chapter 5, verse 3, John even tells us that, look, his commandments are not grievous. It's not something that you ought not want to do. It's not hard. And the fact we have his spirit is not grievous. And it really is easy to do if we simply relinquish our will and walk in the will of the one who has blessed us with salvation. And listen, he gives us further proof in verse 4. He says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments," he says, "is a liar." And again, not talking about falling or slipping or occasionally saying. He's talking about somebody who's always going after the dark side, always going after sin, that they're always living there. He calls them, hallelujah, a liar. He says, and the truth is not in him. And in essence, what he's talking about is someone who could be classified as a fraud. He could be classified as a hypocrite because he's saying one thing, but he's living totally something different. And this is the problem. They're deceiving themselves, thinking that they're right, but everybody else sees that something's not quite right there. He says, "He that saith," verse 4, "I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Guys, years ago, and I always like to use myself as an example, when I first got saved, and as a babe in Christ. And I was going to church, going to Bible study, going to men's group, and nobody ever said nothing to me about drinking. And look, I struggled with that for much of my life up to that time. And nobody never actually said nothing to me about it. And I remember the pastor was preaching one time, and he said this verse out of Ephesians 5 and 18, simply said, "Be not drunk with wine, which in excess," it says, "but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And guys, prior to me hearing that verse, again, not knowing nothing about nothing, surely not knowing what was in God's word, I thought I had it made. I can go to heaven, I can go to church, and I can still sip and get drunk and high, and I'd be okay with God. But that preacher helped me to understand it. Look, he wasn't coming down on me. He didn't know what I was doing. But God knew what I was doing. And listen, because I indeed was sure enough saved, when I heard that verse, I knew I had to do something, because it wasn't a pastor telling me to stop. It was God saying, I can't serve two masters. Either I'm going to serve one or I'm going to serve the other. But I can't do both. He says in verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of Christ," or love of God, "perfected." And look, he's not talking about sinful perfection here, but he is talking about growing in grace. He is talking about maturing in our faith. "He whoso keepeth," it says, "his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." In other words, God, not stagnant. If you see water that's just sitting, it's stagnant, and after a while it really gets a stench about it. But he's talking about something that's moving, that's growing, and listen, moving toward Christ, getting closer to him, and less about me, and more about this Lord I say that I love. In verse 6, he says, "He that saith he abideth in him," or abideth in him, "ought also," it says, "so to walk." And he's talking about, again, how we live, "even as he walked." And guys, you think about Christ and while he was on earth, and he always said that I do what my Father has sent me to do. I always do the will of my Father. And if Christ does the will of his Father, we need to do the will of Christ. And listen, Christ had no sin nature and was able to do what his Father said, even though it was going to cost him his life. We don't have an excuse either. We have God's Spirit in us as a believer. And he gives us the power and the strength to not go and do what my flesh wants to do. And look, my flesh wants to do all kinds of ungodly things, but I now got the power through God, through his Spirit, to tell my flesh no. Sit down and shut up until we do away with you when I get out of this body, because I now have God's Spirit in me. Amen? He says, "He," verse 6, "that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." And as he walked in obedience, we ought to walk in obedience as well. He says in verse 7, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning." He says the old commandment is the word which ye have had from the beginning. And listen, he doesn't really share with us what that commandment is. But as you study this thing out, he's actually talking about the commandment of love, which they had even in the old covenant, to love God. And in that regard, I want us to mark our page here. And I want us to go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. In our pew Bibles, it would be on page 852. But we're going to Matthew 22. And I'm going to kind of zero in on verse 23. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 22. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 23. Now, where I want to go is really at the bottom of this section. But this section is interesting as well. And it's a truth. So, and it's something that will be a blessing to your heart, I do believe. Matthew 22, beginning at verse 23. And in these verses here that we're getting ready to read, Christ is, of course, on earth, and he's going toe-to-toe with these Sadducees. And look, what we know is that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, so they're trying to trip Christ up and prove to him that they're right and that he's wrong. chapter 22, beginning at verse 23, if you're with me, say amen. And he says here, the same day, came to him and said, the Sadducees, they came to Christ, would say there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, now they start off, they're giving him his props, trying to build him up, then they figure they're going to tear him down. It says, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. He goes on. Now there were with us, it says, seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, he goes on, verse 26, the second also, and the third unto even the 70th, the seventh. And he says, and last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, verse 28, in the resurrection. Now keep in mind, guys, these guys don't believe in the resurrection, and they call themselves trying to trick Christ up. Of course they cannot. It says, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And guys, what he's talking about in Deuteronomy 25, beginning at verse 5, it speaks about a provision that was in the law that if a man wanted to keep his bloodline going and he died, that the wife, if everything was okay between the two, they could remarry or they could marry, and it would keep that same family bloodline going, and it would keep that intact, and it would also be a blessing for the widow where she could be taken care of as well. And listen, there was a provision in the law that said that. Now, these guys who don't believe in the resurrection, they've taken this thing to the nth degree. I'm sure they've gotten around and figured this thing out and figured we got him. We'll get him with this question. And the reality, man, you can't trick up God with his own word. And they're going to find that out real soon. It says in verse 30, for in the resurrection, Christ is giving his answer. Verse 29. And Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And what Christ is saying is that, first of all, you don't know your word as well as you thought you knew it. And secondly, you don't know God, that you surely don't know, nor his power. He says in verse 34, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like, look what he says, as the angels of God in heaven. And look, he's talking about those in the resurrection going to heaven, that they're going to be like the angels of God. They don't marry, they don't procreate, they don't have relationships. And he's saying that when we get to heaven, though you'll know one another, I believe that God said in his word that we will know as we have been known, and he knows us thoroughly. But in regard to us linking back up with our old husband and wife, that's over. You will link with them in regard to them being a believer, but singularly, all believers in heaven will be singularly focused on Jesus Christ. And listen, we'll all be his bride, and hallelujah, he'll be our groom, and he will be our focus. And whatever these mansions are that we get, it won't be couples there. Man, we'll be in heaven and we'll be glorifying God as he will be our, hallelujah, soul focus and not one another. And I can only imagine how glorious it would be to see our loved ones. But what I know and what scripture is saying, that as much as it'll be as good as it will be to see our loved ones, it's going to be even better and more joyous to see Jesus Christ up front and personal. So these guys, they erred, and they're looking at this thing wrong, and they thought that they had Christ, but surely you can't trick up the living word with his word. He says in verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken of by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Christ says, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And in essence, what he's saying to them, and they probably don't get it, he's saying that I'm the God of Abraham, who, by the way, is in heaven. I'm the God of Isaac, who, by the way, is in heaven. I'm the God of Jacob, who, by the way, are in heaven, because they are my seed, and you guys are not of my seed, and God is not your God, because you don't know my Father. And he goes on and he says in verse 33, and when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. And listen, the Sadducees had their shot. They thought they could tear him down. Surely they could not. And look at verse 34. When they begin to speak about the greatest commandment, and listen, the verses are going to kind of speak for themselves. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, in other words, regarding the resurrection, he shut them down. They went away sorrowful and realized they could not go toe-to-toe with God's only begotten Son. It said they were gathered together. In other words, they're saying, the Pharisees said, look, you guys failed. We want our shot at Jesus. Verse 35 says, and one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, in other words, they're testing him, and he figured, I'm a lawyer. I know some things that he don't know. I'm going to get him. And listen, I can only imagine their arrogance and saying, look, I've been trained for this, and I'm going to show you how to handle the carpenter's son, which is what they thought he was. But indeed, Christ was owed so much more. Verse 35 said, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, starting off right, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And everything, you're to love him with everything you got. And listen, this is coming from the law, from the old covenant. So love was already on the table. He says in verse 38, he says, this is the first and great commandment. And by the way, it was and still is. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, it says, hang the law and the prophets. And listen, I love that, because he's talking about love, and we were in 1 John, we're going back there to talk about this great commandment, and Christ helps us to know that it hasn't changed, that the great commandment is still the love of Christ. And listen, it has to be priority one in the old covenant, and it's priority number one still in the new covenant. But then, listen, when Moses was having a conference or an audience with God, he wanted to see him, and God said, no, you can't see me and live. So he said, I'll pass by you, you'll see my hind parts, and you'll see some of my glory, but you can't see all of me. And listen, Moses from that point on, or for a bit, had a glow about him, but he was still that God far off. He couldn't touch him. And though he had a conversation with him, he was still that God far off. Enter Jesus the Christ, who put on flesh and dwell among us. And listen, Matthew as well as John, who's writing the first John, they were able to be with him and minister with him for three and a half years. They ate with him. They touched him. They asked him questions. And he was that personal God. And guys, he even died for us and sent his spirit to us. So that great commandment in regard to loving the Lord thy God with everything we got. And guess what? He now lives with us. And he's not that far away God anymore. He's right here. And he lives with me. And listen, he talks with me. And he walks with me. And hallelujah, he tells me that I am his own. So I don't have to talk about that far off God that Moses spoke with. Because I got him. And he lives within my heart. No longer an out there God that can't be touched. We have a personal Savior who went through everything that I go through in his life. So he's familiar and surely can know what I'm going through. He's a personal God and personal with mankind. He lives inside of me. And in the old, he was a God to come. But in the new, he's up front and personal, and he lives within my heart. Back to 1 John chapter 2. Guys, look at verse 7 as we reread this verse. And the verse says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard, he says, from the beginning. And in verse 8, and it seems like a contradiction, but it is not. He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him. He's saying in Christ. He says, and in you. In other words, his spirit is in us. He goes on, because darkness is past, and the true light now shineth, not only in the world, but in our hearts. Man, in the old covenant, Christ was the come. In the new covenant, he is here. And for the believer, he lives inside of us. God, you can't get much more personal than that. In other words, that commandment of love is the same commandment from the old, but it's kicked up a notch in the new. Because whereas Christ was not here, guys, now he lives in us. We saw in verse 1 of chapter 2, John wrote, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Hallelujah. It says, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he lives, hallelujah, inside of me. Don't get no better than that. And don't get kicked up any higher than that. And that's the new commandment. And surely it's the commandment of love. He says in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, he says, even unto now. And guys, he's speaking even about the old prejudices that we used to have. They struggle with it. We struggle with it. And the things that we learn throughout life that we're supposed to like this and not like this, or like those folk and not like, that's over. And Christ has come, and he has been the demarcation point. And he has said that if you're in me, then you belong to me, and you are my children. And guess what? Because you're my children, then you're one another brothers and sisters, and you're to treat each other as such. My Father said that. And I'm talking about Father God, and Christ is saying that that's how we conduct ourselves going forward. He says in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And listen, our love of one another, it shows our love of Christ, because we love him. He's given us love, and now we're able to love folk even outside of what we were able to love them before. And not to mention, man, the Bible speaks of all types of love, eros love and friendship love and intimate love. But he's talking about sacrificial love that God did for us through his son. And now, listen, I don't much care what you look like or who you are or where you come from. I can love you because I was given love. And that's that love, that sacrificial love, that hallelujah, I'm loving for the sake of loving and not so you can do something back. I love you because Christ loved me, and I'm going to spend eternity with you. And hallelujah, I need to learn to love Christ's way while I'm here, because eternity is a long time to spend with somebody you're not going to love. He says in verse 11, but he that hateth his brother, he shows us the other side of that coin, is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness had blinded his eyes. And guys, you've met folk over the years that man, they have a hatred for you or for something or for God. And listen, that hatred is such and so dark and has blinded their eyes and darkened their hearts to the point that when you try to explain it to them how rational or irrational they're acting, they won't hear it. When you try to tell them that one and one is two, they keep telling you, no, it's not. It's 10. And listen, you're explaining over and over and over, and they still can't rationalize, because this love that John is talking about is spiritually given and spiritually discerned. And if you don't have him in your heart, I don't care how much sense it might seem to make to you, they'll never see beyond their nose. Because like those Sadducees and like those Pharisees, they can't see for looking, which is why we don't give them our opinion. We give them what God's word says. And perhaps when we saturate that with prayer, the breakthrough will come through, not because of us, but because of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's how we got to come to faith in Christ ourselves anyhow. That some dear saint says something to you that was scriptural, and some dear saint begin to pray for you, and others begin to pray for you, and then ultimately God is the one that gave the increase. And it's almost like those old cartoons, and they're walking around trying to figure out something, and all of a sudden they'll show a light bulb over their head and they'll go bing, yes. And only God can do that when it comes to the love and the loving of his son. Amen. At this point, guys, I'm going to stop, and we're going to go into our communion service, and we're going to make sure that we're right first and foremost. As you see in your bulletin, we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, and that would be on page 996. But before I do, let us pray. And Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for the light that you have shined toward us on this day. And Father God, even though we didn't go as far as we would like to go, Lord, we'll be here next week if you say so. And we'll continue in our study in 1 John. But Lord, we're taking a moment here so that we can remember what you have done, Lord. We're talking about the what happens after you saved us. And we're getting ready to go into some scripture in regard to that. And we're going to remember what you have done through our communion service. So I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll touch and bless and minister to each and every one here. And Father God, if this table is for them, and we're going to explain it, and we're going to let your word explain it, if it's for them, Lord, allow them to freely partake. And if it is not for them, Lord, I'm asking that you trouble them, that you straighten it out, that Father God, you shut it down so that they don't drink condemnation to themselves. Father God, bless our elements that are just grape juice, unsweetened juice, and unleavened bread, Father God. Bless it for the use of remembering your broken body that was done for us and your shed blood that was done for us. And Lord, though it's just simply a secular type of liquid and cracker, Father God, let us use it for a spiritual type as we partake in these elements. And amen, the fact that Christ has saved our souls. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. The God's church say amen and amen. Guys, if you would.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.